weaknesses and knew how to bypass them. They were liabilities she had run across more than once in her solo career as a bounty hunter. Once with Pluma Soti, a young cocky girl who had been taken from her family to be an unwilling bride, and again whenever a bounty's family had muddied the waters, as had happened earlier. She should say no to the amusing idiot who stood before her. Keep well away from partners and entanglements and trust. Instead, Ventress found herself saying, "Fine, I'm game. We'll split it." Voss's composure slipped. Adroit as she had seen him be earlier today, he actually slid a little where he leaned against the curving metal. He caught himself quickly. "Really?" At his unabashed delight and surprise, a warning flare went up somewhere deep inside her. "Guard yourself." It was too late now, though. Her voice was hard as she replied. "But there's no way I'm carrying you." She shoved a stiffened finger pointedly into his broad chest. "If you want to partner with me, you've got work to do. This isn't playtime. This is a job. You're going to need to learn how to run faster and fight harder. No foolish errors. No lost quarries because you want to make a grand gesture. I won't tolerate laziness or stupidity. Got it?"
Surprise, quickly hooded, flashed in his eyes. The grin reemerged in its dazzling brilliance.
"Always feisty. But you might make a decent partner yet."
"You could use a little bit more training."
She strode up the ramp and started to climb up the ladder. He followed.
"I think you'll find I'm up to the task," he said.
Ventress glanced down at him to notice he was appreciatively eyeing her derriere.
"That won't be happening,"
she said dryly.
"I don't mix business with pleasure."
"You don't know what you're missing,"
he insisted.
"Then I'll have to remain happily ignorant. And you'll remain alive. For now, anyway. If you're going to get half the pay, you'll need to do half the work. And we'll need to line up twice as many jobs. Come on."
"Okay, partner."
As she climbed quickly with Voss behind her, Ventress found herself hiding a smile.
Chapter 8.
Voss had thought Ventress had been teasing him with the whole run faster, fight harder, you need training bit. So when within the first hour of their partnership, she handed him a list of running times to beat, weights to lift, and insisted on a regimen of daily hand-to-hand combat with her, he'd laughed out loud.
"You're taking the joke too far," he said, tossing the pad back to her.
She caught it and threw it back.
"I seldom joke."
Voss peered at her.
"I thought my audition with Morrigai went pretty well."
"It did. That's why I agreed to take you on at all. But you've got a few things to learn before you're ready to play the part."
He did not like her choice of words, as they hit too close to the truth. Voss had been careful not to use the force around her, but he had been in physical training since he could walk. Was Ventress attempting to assert herself over him, as Kenobi had warned she might? Or did she really just not see how good he was?
Or did she already suspect that he was a Jedi?
"I'm fine, thanks," he said.
Ventress folded her slender arms. "Tell you what, if you can knock me out, you can skip the extra training."
"Oh, there is no way this is going to end well. I don't like hitting a woman."
"Then every woman you fight is going to win. An enemy is an enemy, Voss, regardless of size, species, or sex."
There was no getting out of it. While the Banshee bore them through hyperspace, they went down into the cargo hold. Voss limbered up, cracked his neck, and while he was settling into position, she sprang.
He darted to the right, his hand closing on her ankle.
Deftly, she twisted in midair.
Voss almost dodged her other foot as it descended onto his face, but reminded himself to be slower than usual and not use the force. He did, however, turn his head so her kick struck his cheek and not his nose. His stumble was exaggerated, but the grunt of pain was not.
Ventress let him catch his breath, and they circled.
"Quick reaction, grabbing my foot,"
she said grudgingly. Inwardly, he grimaced that it hadn't escaped her notice. Kenobi had said she was sharp. He smirked, hoping he looked overconfident.
"See? I'm better than you thought."
He blocked the lightning-fast punch, but pulled his own. This was turning out to be more challenging than he'd expected. How hard was too hard to punch her? Should he really try to knock her out? While Voss was pondering, drawing his fist back for another blow, Ventress seized his other arm and pulled. Voss decided to let the whole mess conclude and permitted himself to be thrown. Honestly, he had to admit, it wasn't that hard. Ventress was unobtrusively using the force. An ordinary opponent would never have noticed it. He landed on the hard metal of the cargo floor, and her knee was on his throat. Ventress rolled her eyes, then extended a hand to haul him to his feet.
"I guess I don't get to skip the extra training,"
Voss said, massaging his throat.
"You performed better than expected,"
was her reply. She picked up the pad with her instructions and tossed it to him.
"But you can do better."
So now, Quinlan Voss, Jedi Master, was once again in training. After the first few sessions, he found himself actually glad of it. Not only did Ventress fight dirty and ruthlessly, but she fought extraordinarily well. He'd seen a lot of it in their first hunt together, but that had only been the tip of the iceberg. Voss supposed it was only to be expected from someone trained by Count Dooku. He had wondered how it was that both Kenobi, a superb fighter, and Anakin, who was also excellent, though a bit reckless, had been unable to take her down. Now, he understood. Voss made a point of utilizing the moves she had taught him on their next couple of hunts, so she'd see how much he'd learned. The jobs were not particularly interesting in and of themselves. The usual routine of one rotten underworld Sleemo putting a bounty out on another rotten underworld Sleemo. Still, Voss discovered that hunting alongside Ventress, and showing her all the things he had learned, was a great deal of fun. There had only been one time when he'd come close to blowing his cover. They'd been after a bounty, chasing him through the dark, dangerous, and very dirty streets of Coruscant's level 1313 when they'd been ambushed. Well, Ventress maintained they'd been ambushed. Voss privately wondered if some of the denizens of the area were just bored that night. It wasn't so much that their attackers were excellent fighters, but that there were simply so many swarming out of the shadowy corners. Voss and Ventress had their hands full, and at one point, Voss had noticed that a leathery-faced Weequay, whom Ventress thought she'd eliminated, had woken up and was training a blaster on her. Voss had no choice. He used the force to knock the weapon out of the Weequay's hand, simultaneously leaping to close the distance between himself and the attacker. When Ventress turned around, Voss was in close enough proximity to later claim that he'd kicked the blaster away. Ventress had looked at him narrowly, but she made certain this time that the Weequay was dead and had not asked Voss about it again. Since then, she had repaid the favor more than once. Voss was alternating between handstand push-ups and one-hand balancing, focusing on not using the force, when he heard the ramp go up. He didn't stop his workout as he called,
"Hey, got anything for us yet?"
She came into view, upside down from his perspective, and peered at him critically.
"I might," she said. "Let's try this with a little bit more weight."
She grasped his feet and began to transfer her weight to her hands, bending her knees and leaning into the movement.
He grunted, his legs quivering.
"Oh, come on. I'm not putting that much weight on you. Keep going."
"Ugh," he said,
but obeyed, still not using the Force.
Ventress grinned wickedly down at him, her short tuft of blonde hair falling slightly into her face.
"We'll be working with pirates," she said.
"With them?"
he grunted, managing another push-up.
"Is that wise?"
"I've worked with this one before. She's got her own code of honor, and nothing in the galaxy can help you if you violate it."
Ventress put more of her weight into her hands. If Voss had been able to use the Force, she could have done handstands of her own on his feet. But of course, he had to use muscles alone. His arms were burning as he dipped again.
"She..."
"Don't tell me you've never heard of Lasarame."
"Nope."
"The Bloodbone Order?"
"Oh, them I've heard of. So that's Rame's crew?"
"It is. It's very egalitarian. She was voted into the position, and can be voted out at any time. No one has so far, nor is likely to."
Abruptly, Ventress put almost all her weight on his feet for a moment. Voss made a choking sound.
"Keep going,"
she instructed, but eased off. For the moment.
"She divides everything into equal shares. No cheating among the crew. No fighting on the ship. They'll follow her anywhere."
"No desertions allowed, I take it."
"On the contrary. Anyone's free to leave, but most know a good thing when they see it. Our quarry, shall we say, left on a bad note."
Again, she increased her weight.
"Oh? Oh! Ventress!"
"Her first mate, literally and figuratively, ran away 3 days ago with Rame's last intended target."
"The Hall?"
"The Hall and the heiress they intended to take it from."
"I see. Ventress!"
"Captain Rame is taking this all very personally. So much so that there's quite a lucrative bounty on his head."
Ventress appeared ignorant of Voss's imminent collapse.
"What will happen to him?"
"Even I don't particularly care to find out. Think pirate justice combined with jilted lover."
"I get the picture. Ventress, you really should..."
She let go, but not without yanking on his foot first. With a yelp, Voss collapsed into a heap.
"Ouch,"
he said.
"Better do a few more."
"You just like watching me,"
he said, untangling himself.
"Never said I didn't,"
she replied.
"You could do more than watch,"
he said, and winked. For a terrible moment, she didn't reply, and he thought she was calling his bluff. Then she rolled her eyes.
"Since you brought it up, it's time I familiarize you with a new strategy. It's an easy one. This former lover of Rame's has an eye for women, so we bait him."
It took Voss a second to figure out what she meant.
"You mean you?"
As soon as he'd said it, he realized it could have sounded like an insult, which was not at all what he'd meant. Fortunately, Ventress appeared to let it slide.
"I have two approaches I like to employ,"
she continued.
"The subtle one I call the nod and the wink. That's for the more sophisticated target, or one who wants to be discreet. The other's the full-on gambit, which is an obvious invitation. I've always been more than able to handle them alone, but with this approach, having a partner will make it even easier."
"Gotcha,"
he said, nodding. Ventress eyed him thoughtfully.
"You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?"
Voss scoffed.
"Course I do. Hey, I bet I'd be great at this kind of thing,"
he said with feigned casualness. A smile played on her full lips.
"You think so?"
"Sure I do."
"All right. Let's give it a shot, then."
"Uh-oh,"
Voss thought, as a sense of panic rose in him. It was one thing to verbally flirt. What Ventress was proposing was entirely different.
"First, the nod and the wink.
Ventress shifted her weight so one hip was slightly higher than the other. Casually, she ran a hand down her waist, along her thigh, then looked up at him from under her lock of blonde hair. Her lips curving in a smile, she gave him a barely perceptible nod and closed one blue eye in a wink.
"Now you try," she said, dropping the seductress pose like a cloak. It was again the Ventress he knew standing before him. "I surrender," he said, putting his hands up. His cheeks were hot. He thought he would rather face a session with a torture droid than attempt what she had so easily demonstrated.
"I can't top that."
"You haven't seen the full-on gambit yet."
"Don't have to."
She laughed and patted his cheek, offering him a genuine smile.
"Your virtue is safe with me. Your discomfort is rather charming, actually. But I'm sure you'll get over it."
He had no response to her first comment, and said instead,
"I'll let you handle this, if you really think it's necessary."
"For this one?" "Absolutely. A good bounty hunter uses whatever tools best suit the job. Sometimes it's a lightsaber, sometimes it's a sucker punch, and sometimes it's a nod and a wink. The idea is to catch our bounty effectively and in a timely manner, without unnecessary complications. Trust me, in this case, it's the perfect strategy."
They got the mark in 15 minutes flat. Ventress didn't even have to use the full-on gambit. Ventress settled into the cockpit, with Voss in the seat behind her, and she found herself smiling. This mission had been an unqualified success. The bounty had been hefty, and having Lhasa Raym's gratitude was no small thing. Voss had given up on his overdone persona, which was a blessing, and had relaxed into someone who was actually naturally appealing. She was glad he'd pushed his way into a partnership with her. Not once had he given her cause to regret her decision. Theirs was a relationship that was unique in her experience. Before, the roles of both parties had been clearly defined as master and servant. Sometimes, as with her Jedi Master Kai Narek and Count Dooku, she had been the servant, the apprentice. In her early years, she had quite literally been a slave. When Savage Opress, the Zabrak Knight Brother whom she had shaped, used Night Sister Dark Side magics in order to destroy Dooku, she had been the undisputed master. The hallmarks of all those interactions had been discipline and gravity. Voss was quite possibly the least serious person she'd ever met, except when he needed to be. He made her laugh, and she couldn't remember laughing since her time with Kai Narek. There was an ease in Voss's company she'd never found with anyone before, not even with the Night Sisters, and she realized she liked it. It wouldn't last forever. None of her relationships did. But for now, Ventress decided she would enjoy the ride.
"Hey," said Voss in the seat behind her. "I just realized something."
"What's that?"
Ventress plotted a course and entered the coordinates. A second later, the stars turned into long, bright streaks, and then they were in the blue and white hyperspace lane.
"It's our anniversary."
She peered around her chair at him.
"What?"
"Well, not an anniversary, I suppose," he continued, "because it's not a certain amount of time we're celebrating. But we have just successfully, wildly successfully, I might add, completed our fifth mission together. So it's that kind of anniversary. What's that sort of thing called, anyway?"
"I don't know, and I don't care,"
Ventress replied.
"We need to line up our next job."
She settled back into her seat and suited task to word, calling up the current list of bounties on a small screen.
"Do you ever take your mind off the job? You know, relax a little?"
"I have a term for people who relax."
"Oh? What's that?"
She clicked a few more bounty subjects.
"Dead."
You are so much fun, Voss said.
I know.
Oh, come on, Voss said. He stepped around to her chair, leaning on the back of it. Your friend Raim gave us a bottle of aged Tavrocki whiskey. Let's crack it open. We won't be ready to do anything till tomorrow at the earliest, and we're in hyperspace.
Ventress sighed.
You go ahead if you want.
No deal.
We're partners.
Split down the middle.
I'd forgotten how persistent you were,
she said, rising.
All right.
There wasn't much extra space aboard the Banshee. Only two small cabins, a shared head, a tiny galley, and the cargo hold. They sat on the hard metal floor of the hold, opened the bottle, and Voss poured them each a shot.
To the next hunt, Ventress said.
To partnership, Voss replied, and they drank.
The liquor burned like sweet fire, coating the tongue and sending warmth all through Ventress's limbs.
It was far too easy to drink, and Ventress knew she'd have to be careful. She never drank to get drunk.
Voss's eyes widened. Your friends have good taste, he said,
his tone slightly tinged with awe.
Please let Captain Raim know that if she ever wants to hire us again, we'll be there.
Ventress chuckled a little and took another sip, while Voss poured himself another shot.
Normally they dissected a hunt afterward, discussing what had worked, what hadn't, and what they might have done differently.
This time, though, all had gone so smoothly, there was nothing to criticize. So instead, Voss asked her about some of the weapons they were considering purchasing, and moves he'd seen her do. Ventress tensed slightly when he inquired about the lightsaber. By this point, her partner was a trifle worse, or better, for the alcohol, and she suspected it was making him less cautious. He'd never asked about her lightsaber before.
I thought only Jedi used them, he said.
You thought wrong. You can find them on the black market easily enough. I would have thought you'd know that.
Don't need to trade in the black market, he said.
He waved a hand, indicating their Stark vessel.
A simple existence is ours.
He slurred his words slightly, drained his glass, and reached for the bottle.
You spill a single drop of that, it comes out of your pay,
Ventress warned. He laughed.
So,
he continued, pouring with great focus,
you got it on the black market. Who trained you?
It's a sword. I know how to use swords.
It wasn't exactly a lie. Voss stretched out on his back, using one arm for a pillow and propping the shot on his chest with the other. His gaze, as he regarded her, looked slightly unfocused. Ventress turned the tables.
What about you, Voss? What's your story?
She was expecting some kind of wisecrack. Instead, Voss looked as if he had no idea how to answer. He turned his head, gazing up at nothing.
You know,
he said, his voice slightly slurred and touched with surprise.
I don't think I have a story.
Everyone has a story,
Ventress pressed, curious now. He raised his head, drained the glass, and set it down.
Not me. I mean, I've done things, seen things. Things have happened to me, but I don't think I have a story.
This had clearly never occurred to him. He seemed to be almost reeling from the revelation. Ventress wondered if it was the alcohol talking, or if Voss really did feel as lost as he sounded.
What about you?
He asked.
What's your story? Or do you not have one either?
Oh, I have a story, all right,
Ventress said.
Quite a lot of stories, actually.
The story of a girl given into slavery. Of a Jedi Padawan. Of a Dark Master's apprentice.
Of a Night Sister. But none of them end well.
She frowned into her glass. Maybe the delicious liquor was having an effect on her, too. She was seldom maudlin, and she didn't like it.
I wonder,
Voss mused, turning again to look at her.
What's worse,
To have unhappy stories, or to have no story at all?
Tonight's story ends with sleep.
Ventress was done. She got to her feet. Voss didn't emulate her right away.
Voss, can you get up?
Yep,
he assured her.
Are you lying?
Maybe.
Voss had permitted Ventress to help him to the door of his cabin, where she told him he'd better not have a hangover in the morning. He assured her he wouldn't, which was the truth, because he wasn't drunk. It had been a necessity in undercover work to develop a strong tolerance for alcohol in order to blend in. The exquisite liquor so generously given to them by a pirate captain was strong, but nothing he couldn't handle. He had exaggerated his intoxication in the hope of getting Ventress to reveal some things about herself. It hadn't worked out quite as he'd intended. Her casual query, "What's your story, Voss?" had blindsided him in a way he couldn't possibly have imagined. Of course he couldn't tell her the truth, but her word choice, story, made him realize that he truly didn't have one. He had a series of events from his life that he could relate, but somehow they were never about him. Never his stories. Simply things he'd done. The distinction was subtle. So subtle he'd never even thought about it. Maybe it was the alcohol. Maybe it was the time he'd spent in Ventress's company, working as a team. But the realization shook him. So Voss had said exactly what had sprung into his mind, and then attempted to refocus attention on Ventress. For the second time that evening, he got a shock. He was willing to bet 1,000,000 credits that Ventress, too, had replied honestly. And her answer had surprised and shaken her, just as Voss's answer had rattled him. He rubbed his tired eyes. He was likely reading too much into everything tonight. His belly was still pleasantly warm from the alcohol, but his thoughts were discordant. Voss stretched out on the bed, but sleep would not come right away. The words he'd spoken kept running through his brain. What's worse, to have unhappy stories, or to have no story at all? Voss had no answer.
Chapter 9.
"You're late," said the man who sat in the seedy, ill-lit level 1313 bar. He wore a fur-lined vest, a tan jacket, and gear that pegged him as a bounty hunter. Sharp eyes gazed out from under a hood. His voice was smooth and cultured, the exact opposite of his disheveled and dirty appearance.
"You're impatient," Voss replied.
He waved at the bartender and pointed at the beverage his companion held in a grubby hand. A moment later, a BD-3000 droid, her pale metal face smooth and her torso painted a garish scarlet, plunked a shot glass down in front of Voss. One articulated lid closed over a blank eye in a wink, then the droid sidled off. Voss took a sip. Predictably, the beverage wasn't very strong. Obi-Wan Kenobi always eschewed the heavier stuff when he was on a mission.
"I am, rather," Kenobi said, "and I'm not alone. I've been getting pressure from the Council. How's it coming with Ventress? Have you made any progress?"
"Well, I'm her partner now," Voss said, draining the weak drink and motioning for another. "We've been scoring marks together, and making quite the payday, I might add."
"Hey,"
he asked, keeping his face straight,
"do I get to keep the money after this mission?"
Kenobi rubbed his eyes and gave a long-suffering sigh.
"You can't play bounty hunter forever."
Voss mock pouted and winked at the BD-3000 as she set another glass of mostly water in front of him.
"Now that the two of you have established a rapport," Kenobi went on, "you must find a way to motivate her against Count Dooku."
Voss's joviality ebbed. Quietly, he said,
"She has plenty of motivation."
Obi-Wan feigned obliviousness to Voss's sudden solemnity.
"Well then, help her tap into it,"
soon.
I'll find a way.
I'm sure you will. Drink unfinished, Kenobi tossed a few credits on the table and rose. His hand descended on Voss's shoulder for a moment. Then he was gone. Voss was alone in the crowded bar, staring into his glass. Voss ordered another shot and knocked it back, then rolled the glass between his fingers. Many Jedi would raise eyebrows at the thought of meditating in a bar, but Voss had done it before. It was simply a matter of being able to have part of his conscious mind alert, while the rest of it sank deeper. And frankly, Voss sometimes wondered if other customers crouched over their drinks and staring into them weren't trying their own versions of the same thing. He deliberately slowed his breathing and his heart rate, letting his gaze soften as he stared into the last few blue droplets in the glass. The essence of his task could be summed up in two words: kill Dooku. It expanded from there to get Asajj Ventress's help to do so. Wider the ring spread, like ripples from a stone tossed into still water, to include without her knowledge. His even breathing caught for an instant, then resumed. That was where the conflict came. He had gained her trust, and even grown to like her. That happens sometimes in this line of work. But Ventress was unique. Even the Council knew it, or else they wouldn't have asked him to pair up with her. What were his key values? What did he owe to himself and to others? To the Jedi Order as a whole? To the Council? To his partner? He was a Jedi, all but born in the Temple. Surely he owed them his absolute obedience. The task was a worthy one. If anyone in the universe needed to be stopped, it was Dooku. Voss let himself imagine all the people slain by Dooku in one place. And the image was so horrific, he felt his gut twist with real physical pain. But what about Ventress? She'd saved his life on more than one occasion during their bounty hunts. He owed her. And what about himself? The thought instantly snapped Voss out of his meditation. Jedi did not think about themselves, their own wants or needs or desires. Keep it together, he told himself. You're using her, yes, but you're not doing anything she doesn't want. And you know, when it comes down to it, she's going to want to kill Dooku. Even his reasoning did not shake the feeling that he was doing something wrong, and he was unable to fall back into his meditation. He ordered another shot and sat at the table for a long time. Ventress paused in her welding as Voss approached. She had needed to take a couple of hours in relative safety to install some modifications to the Banshee. They had opted to land here, on a platform extending from the inner curve of one of the massive portals that burrowed its way into the Coruscant Undercity. Voss had taken advantage of the chance to restock their supplies. Ventress permitted herself to silently marvel at the fact that she had let someone else take her hard-earned credits, and that she hadn't had a moment's concern about whether he and the supplies would return. She flipped up the protective visor and gave him a smile.
You seem to be in a good mood, he said.
I suppose I am, she replied. No reason not to be. We're stocked up, the new modifications to the ship are almost complete, and I've managed to secure another job for us.
She extinguished the torch and removed the visor. Striding up the Banshee's ramp, Voss caught up to her, and they fell into easy step together.
Oh? Where are we headed?
We're going to Obadiah to see the Pikes.
Voss made a sour face. Ventress supposed she couldn't blame him. Voss was almost annoyingly cheerful. No, she amended. Strike the almost. And the Pikes were not anybody's idea of fun. The Pike Syndicate liked to call itself a family, but it was driven by anything other than familial love. It was a crime syndicate, whose focus was on the distribution of highly illegal spice of all types, from the mild to the mind-destroying.
A barrel of laughs being your partner,
No one says you need to stick around,
Ventress offered.
Ah, but you'd miss me. You know you would.
She didn't reply, only arched a brow. But she had to admit, if only to herself, he was right.
Looks like we've got a welcoming committee,
Voss observed. Obadiah was a world as unwelcoming as its inhabitants. Wreathed in mist, the major city was carved out of the jutting obsidian crags of the inhospitable terrain. Centuries ago, the Pikes had built structures from material that resembled deep green smoked glass. From these looming yet eerily beautiful structures, the wealthy and powerful gazed from luminous blue-green windows down at those less fortunate. Ventress settled the Banshee down onto one of the many landing platforms erected on spokes that jutted out from the main Pike Citadel and peered out the viewport.
Fife, she said. He's Marg Krim's majordomo. I've worked with him before. Usually he thinks he's more than enough to handle the situation. This should be interesting. Come on.
No fewer than 8 heavily armed guards flanked the strutting Fife. Ventress strode forward, Voss just a step behind her, and came to a stop in front of the Pike.
No matter how often one interacted with them, the species always took getting used to. Taller and slighter than an average human, Pikes had long, spindly legs and arms that bore 3 fingers.
Their heads were large, sleek, and elongated, with a tapered skull. Yet their faces were undersized, small as a child's. The overall effect was unsettling.
Fife,
she said coolly. He didn't acknowledge her. His glowing magenta eyes were turned toward Voss, who stayed silent, thankfully, Ventress thought, though his arms were folded across his chest, and he met Fife stare for stare. Ventress regarded Fife for a moment, then, hoping that a brief acknowledgement would be enough for the openly curious Pike, said flatly,
"My partner, Voss."
Fife's head drew back in the characteristic Pike gesture for surprise. He stared at Ventress.
"A partner? You? That's new."
He looked Voss up and down and said to him,
"You must be pretty good for this one to trust you."
"I am," Voss replied matter-of-factly. Fife motioned for them to follow. The 8 guards tramped in silent menace behind them as Fife led them through the halls of the Pike Palace. They strode through a marble entrance, the warm sand-colored stone floor flanked by massive dark pillars that emitted green illumination. While the design and artistry of the entranceway was beautiful, Ventress caught glimpses of languid movement in alcoves on each side and the brief gleam of glazed eyes. It was hard not to cough from the sickly sweet smell of spice. Attractive the place was, but what went on here was unpleasant indeed. She returned her attention to Fife.
"We've known each other a while,"
she said to Fife, quickening her steps to keep pace with him.
"Anything you can fill me in on before we hear it from your boss?"
He looked at her for a moment, then spoke quietly.
"What I can say is that Black Sun is trying to move in on the Pike Syndicate. Marg Krim has been put in a terrible position. Much is on the line for him. Black Sun wants all his business. He risks both losing face with our syndicate and, well, the rest I will leave for him to share."
They reached the foot of the throne. Marg Krim blinked at them, his body twitching with anxiety. In the force, worry, anger, and fear rolled off him. He wore the headdress that marked his station, a metallic mask affixed to his huge skull that looked like rays of the sun or the plumes of a bird. Fife bowed low, his gangly arms sweeping.
"O illustrious Imperator Marg Krim," he said, "I have brought the bounty seekers you requested."
Krim continued to stare at Voss and Ventress for so long that Ventress thought the illustrious Imperator might be too heavily drugged to have a coherent conversation. Then he spoke, and he wasted not one word.
My mate and two younglings have been captured by Black Sun and taken to Mustafar.
Oh boy,
Voss muttered under his breath.
You will find them and bring them back alive.
His voice quivered with emotion, and he took another puff on his hookah in an attempt to steady himself. Ventress chose her words carefully.
Before we begin,
she said, exuding calmness in the Force,
there are a few things we need to know. For instance,
why aren't you sending your own men to bring them back?
Voss interrupted. Ventress jabbed him with an elbow and whispered harshly in his ear.
Because then we wouldn't get paid.
Fortunately, Marg Krim was too lost in his own turmoil to notice the exchange.
I should be able to, shouldn't I? But I cannot. My supposedly devoted men are willing to let my family die if it means they do not have to join Black Sun. That hateful group sees this attack on my family as a victory either way, because they know it will hurt me. My family must be returned safely and secretly. This will show both Black Sun and my own men that Marg Krim is still a powerful member of the Pike family.
He closed his eyes and murmured,
Family?
Don't worry, Voss said warmly. We'll get your family back alive.
Provided that's the way we find them.
Ventress added. She did not want to be held responsible for failure if Black Sun kidnappers got trigger-happy.
Bring them home,
Krim said, his voice hollow. Then he added in a whisper,
Please.
Chapter 10.
You're awfully quiet,
Voss said as they prepped the ship for takeoff.
I don't have anything to say.
Apparently, Voss did.
I know. It rattled me, too. We're so used to bringing in Sleemos and criminals, it's hard to adjust to rescuing someone's mate and kids.
As long as the credits are good, I'll bring in whoever anyone wants.
The pat words were easily spoken, but Ventress knew it was a lie. And not the first she had told Voss. Not that long ago, Ventress had not worked alone. She had been part of a team of bounty hunters led by Boba Fett. The team had been tasked with the delivery of a crate of mysterious but precious cargo. Ventress had discovered that the cargo packed in the crate was a young woman named Pluma Sodhi. The girl, who looked to be only in her teens, had been abducted from her family and was being delivered to a greedy and lecherous Balugan named Atua Blank, who planned to make her his bride against her will. Ventress had not delivered Pluma Sodhi like a wrapped present to the disgusting Balugan. She'd released Pluma and placed Boba Fett in the container in the girl's stead. Sometimes Ventress wondered if the boy would ever forget that incident, but she had no regrets. Even so, she did not like the memory. In that moment, Ventress had been soft, and life had taught her that the universe was not kind to the soft. Voss eyed her.
Really?
Really?
He shrugged. If you say so.
Shut up and enter the coordinates for Mustafar.
Yes. Scenic Mustafar. Because everyone looks good in red lighting. Become a bounty hunter. See the galaxy.
She would never admit it. But while there were times when she wanted to throttle Quinlan Voss, who never seemed to have a bad minute, let alone an entire bad day, there were also times when his ebullience was welcome. Ventress was none too keen on visiting Mustafar. No one in her right mind would be. The only thing it was good for was lava, and the only people who lived there were those who had the dangerous job of harvesting the molten export, Black Sun, who found the lava handy as well, specifically for convenient disposal of evidence, and various and sundry beings who either didn't want to be found or had control of others they didn't want found.
standing in the throne room, hearing that the destination was Mustafar and the obstacle toward recovering the bounty was Black Sun, Ventress had been tempted to walk. But Marg Krim was very powerful in his current position, and while everything had to be kept on the down low, earning his gratitude could be lucrative over and above the already exorbitant fee they'd been promised. Well, who wanted to live forever anyway? They came out of hyperspace with a red planet looming before them. Voss opened his mouth to speak, and Ventress turned to him with a finger raised in warning.
"Not one word about the color," she said.
He laughed brightly.
"How did you know?"
He sounded delighted.
"If there's a bad joke to be made, you'll make it. More than once."
Voss heaved an exaggerated sigh.
"Guilty as charged."
He shrugged, as if he hadn't been about to make another joke about the color. Ventress maneuvered the Banshee through thick clouds of black smoke to settle on a landing platform at the edge of a rough-looking mining town. The platform and the town itself were precariously perched on a ledge overlooking a river of orange liquid. Had this been Naboo, or any other more hospitable world, and the liquid the cool blue of water, it would be prime real estate. But here, it was just a collection of shanties to house the unfortunates whose job it was to harvest the lava. Ventress debated putting on a breath mask, but decided against it. The masks were vital if one was constantly exposed to the fumes, but a few hours here wouldn't harm them. The heat was oppressive, but endurable. The natives of this world, the Mustafarians, did wear breath masks while working near the lava. It made them all look mysterious and uniform. As passers-by peered up at them curiously, Ventress realized belatedly that the masks could have helped camouflage them.
"I hate small towns,"
she muttered, as she and Voss hurried toward a cluster of the rideable lava fleas that the Mustafarians had long ago domesticated.
"Everybody knows everybody's business."
"Yeah, but in this case that's going to help us."
"Except within an hour, everyone will know we're here."
They approached a stooped Mustafarian who clearly owned the fleas. A price was agreed on, and credits changed hands.
"It's a bit warm here, isn't it?"
Voss commented as they mounted their rented fleas. The Mustafarian glared at him and did not reply. Voss persisted.
"Makes you thirsty. Where can we get a drink?"
"The last resort,"
the Mustafarian said, his voice sounding muffled through the breath mask.
"That the best bar in town?"
Ventress asked. The Mustafarian laughed.
"Only bar in town."
"Guess that's the place to be,"
Frost said.
"Thanks."
He tugged gently on the reins, and the creature gave an obedient leap in the direction of town. Ventress copied Voss's motions, but her flea just shuffled awkwardly and gave a couple of hesitant hops. She placed a hand on its shiny carapace and thought,
"You're not too big to squash."
She was no telepath, but she pushed her intention at it through the force, and it began to lurch sullenly after Voss and his mount. Ventress's eyes watered from the smoke. She refrained from coughing by sheer determination and concentrated on guiding her flea through the town. The narrow streets were growing increasingly packed with workers of an astounding variety of species, and most of them, she observed, seemed to be headed in the same direction.
"It must be quitting time at the mine,"
she commented.
"Let's just follow the crowd."
The mass of miners flowed like the lava, and the two rented fleas didn't take much encouraging to join the current. Sure enough, the last resort appeared shortly. It was a large building, just as run down as the rest of the town.
"Looks like we found our bar,"
Voss mused as he reined in and urged his mount to join the other lava fleas tied to the hitching post. He and Ventress dismounted. Inside, the bar smelled little better than the fumes exuded by the lava. And Ventress reflected that no matter what their decor or patron variety, places like this all had the same feel about them.
a sense of despair, sullen resentment, and hunger, spiked here and there with a sharp upswing of short-lived euphoria. Here, though, a dull exhaustion was the dominant sensation, eclipsing the other emotions. The miners were being ground down, a little each day, to a sort of bitter lethargy that was... Ventress turned her head, following a thread of bright arrogance that wove throughout the blunter emotions. Her gaze fell on a group of burly Fallen. They wore nothing that definitively marked them as members of Black Sun, but they didn't need to. Their posture and physiques, powerful, not just from physical exertion, but also from good nourishment, set them apart from the majority of the bar's patrons, most of whom slumped over their glasses as if already half dead. One of the Fallen sat in a corner by himself, legs outstretched, draining a mug as he regarded his fellow drinkers with a thinly veiled expression of contempt on his mottled green face. As if reading her thoughts, Voss murmured,
"I think we found a winner."
It was almost too easy.
"Sit back and relax," Ventress said. "I've got this one."
"So, what do you think? The nod and a wink, or the full-on gambit?"
"Oh, definitely the full-on gambit for this one," she said.
This arrogant Fallen would be offended and curious if he thought his powerful pheromones weren't working on her. Voss's eyes danced.
"Be my guest."
He stepped back, merging seamlessly with the shadows and the hunched shapes of the regulars. Ventress stood for a moment, letting the Black Sun Fallen's gaze come to her first. When their eyes met, she walked slowly to the bar and slipped into the seat beside him.
"Hello there, soldier."
He smirked.
"Hello yourself, gorgeous. Can I get a pretty lady like you something to drink?"
Ventress licked her lips, keeping her gaze locked with his.
"I'm not thirsty. Not for alcohol, anyway."
She leaned closer and whispered,
"It's hard to talk in here."
She ducked her head, running a hand through her short, fair hair. The signal they had agreed upon, that first time she and Voss had tried this together on their hunt for the pirate's wandering lover. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw a figure slip out of the room. The Black Sun guard was so proud of himself and his oh-so-irresistible pheromones.
This was going to be fun.
"Yeah, it is hard to talk,"
he replied.
"Then let's get out of here."
He almost knocked the stool over getting to his feet. Ventress winked at him and took him by the hand, leading him through the cluster of sorrowful drunkards down a dark corridor toward the restroom. The guard didn't waste much time, shoving the door open and kicking it closed behind him.
"Come here, pretty lady."
He grabbed Ventress by the shoulders, pushed her against the wall, and leaned in for a kiss. Ventress's hand was on his chest. She chuckled throatily.
"Not so fast, buddy. Didn't we leave the barroom because we wanted to talk? Give a girl some conversation first."
He pulled back, his grin widening as he looked her up and down.
"You're a tough one, aren't you?"
"You have no idea," came a cheerful male voice. The guard, taken completely by surprise, grunted.
"Huh?"
As he turned to stare at Voss, who had been awaiting their arrival, concealed in one of the stalls. Watching as Voss slammed his lower left arm into the Fallen's throat, Ventress had to wonder if the Black Sun Syndicate was losing its edge. The guard choked slightly, but recovered enough to strike. It was a swift blow, but Voss ducked it with those almost unnaturally fast reflexes of his booted foot crunching into the Fallen's knee. The guard doubled in pain, and Voss flipped him over the rest of the way, so he ended up sprawled on the sticky floor, with Voss's knee on his throat. For good measure, Voss grabbed the guard's arm and bent it back at a clearly painful angle. Voss looked up at Ventress and grinned. She let herself return the smile as she sank down beside the guard, her gaze on him as cold now as it had been inviting before.
"Who are you?"
the guard demanded, his eyes flitting back and forth from one to the other. Ventress ignored the query.
"Where are the Pike hostages?"
"Hostages?"
He tried to look innocent. It didn't suit him. She sighed.
"Come on, honey. Don't make this more difficult."
As if on cue, Voss leaned a little forward on the Black Sun guard's neck, pulled a little back on his arm, and the falling broke just that fast.
They're in the main holding cell, at the house!
"We're going to need more than that," Voss said.
"No! I can't! They'll kill me!"
Patience had never been Ventress's strong suit. The Black Sun guard represented the sort of person she despised most. The kind of swaggering thug who had no passion, no drive for anything but his own base pleasure. She drew her lightsaber and activated it with a snap hiss.
"Yes, you can. Or we'll kill you."
Okay.
Voss eased up on the falling's throat. The guard coughed, then spoke.
"Upper level. Left-hand side. The doors are all rigged with defenses, and there are 12 guards on duty at all times. 6 above and 6 below."
Ventress smiled, extinguished her blade, and patted his cheek.
"There. Was that so difficult?"
Even now, the guard looked hopeful. Ventress shook her head, made a fist, and punched him in his overlarge jaw. His eyes rolled back in his head, and he went limp. She had originally wanted to kill him, but Voss had convinced her that they didn't want to have Black Sun after them for murder if it could be avoided. And really, all they needed was to keep the guard out of the way long enough for them to get in, get Krim's mate and children, and get out.
"Don't worry,"
Voss said as he dragged the guard into the end stall.
"He won't be waking up anytime soon. Not from one of your trademark punches."
He paused, then on a whim, arranged the unconscious Faline in an undignified position. Ventress didn't want to smile, but she couldn't help it.
"Come on.
We've got a fortress to infiltrate."
Chapter 11.
It occurred to Voss as he stared up and up at the ominous structure that he was putting an awful lot of time and effort into doing things that really weren't even close to completing the mission. Take this Black Sun fortress, for instance. The thing towered over the mining facility and the ramshackle houses like an enthroned giant, and it was almost a town unto itself. The guard had referred to a house, as if the area were an ordinary dwelling place. This house, though, was perched high inside the massive tower that was the centerpiece of the fortress. Light shone like eyes, and the whole thing reeked of power and the willingness to use it. He and Ventress had tethered their fleas at the edge of the town and had picked their careful way to the outlying area of the fortress, where they took up position on a storage building. Using a pair of electrobinoculars, he made a slow sweep of the area.
"There are the guards, just like he said," Voss murmured.
Ventress peered through her own goggles, touching them with a long finger to magnify.
"It's a fairly fortified compound, but nothing I haven't broken into before,"
she replied. From anyone else, the words would have been a boast. Voss knew that from this woman, it was a simple statement of fact, and she had uttered it as such. After spending so much time in her company, he now understood why Kenobi held her in such respect, even though she had been an enemy. Was still an enemy. Sort of. Or was she? He mentally shook his head and refocused on the task at hand. Even with a Jedi and a powerful Force user like Ventress, there were simply too many guards at the main entrance to either take out or try to sneak past.
"Your would-be boyfriend said they were in the main holding cell in the house.
top section, left-hand side.
Voss looked upward along the house itself, and his eyes fell on an area of the roof that wasn't sheer wall.
Aha! I see our entry point.
Come on.
Swiftly, silently, they moved across the open area. As they circled around to the side of the huge tower, the flat stone of the courtyard area gave way to black rock. Voss peered upward.
That looks like the base of an overhanging balcony, he said.
He fired his liquid cable launcher and had found a secure purchase.
Grab hold, he said to Ventress.
She gave Voss a quick glance, then pointedly reached for her bow, sending up her own plasma cable instead. For an instant, he simply stared as she quickly ascended, pulled up by the retracting cable. Voss found himself unexpectedly stung by the gesture. It hadn't been necessary.
What was he going to do? Try to steal a kiss in midair?
She knew better than that. Fresh concern about ever really gaining her trust washed over him. But he banished it and followed his partner. If she really could be called one. Ventress had reached the balcony first and had used her lightsaber to cut a circular entrance through several of the metal railings. The railings made the whole area look like a cage, which of course it was.
Voss slipped through the opening onto the balcony, carefully avoiding the orange, nearly molten metal around the entrance Ventress had made and landing lightly.
Jackpot, she said. But it seems awfully convenient.
She indicated a series of diamond-shaped grated openings that served as windows. Voss heard the humming of an energy field.
Carefully, he peered inside and beheld two small huddled shapes clinging to each other. It was a welcome sight.
It does, Voss agreed. We need to move quickly. Could be a trap.
Ventress stepped to the side next to a set of controls. She used her still-activated lightsaber to override the energy shield. Voss slipped easily through the now open window. The children's heads whipped up, but Voss crouched down and lifted a finger to his lips.
Shh,
he said, projecting calmness at them in the Force. He smiled.
We're going to get you out of here. You just have to trust us and keep as quiet as possible, okay?
Trembling, they nodded. Ventress speared the control panel next to the door with her lightsaber, locking it. She turned, her blue eyes taking in the children and then scanning the room.
Where is she?
Voss started to ask who, but stopped as realization dawned. The mother wasn't here.
What's your name, little guy?
He asked the boy. The child wiped his face with his hand and tried to look brave.
I'm Vram,
he said. He indicated his younger sister.
This is Lolly.
Where's your mother, Vram?
Lolly started to cry. Vram swallowed hard.
They took her away from us when we were captured. I heard them say they were worried that Father might send someone to find us.
Voss put all his sincerity into his words.
Those guards were right. And we're that someone. We'll find her. Don't worry.
He rose and went to Ventress, his back to the younglings. Quietly, he said,
Well, this complicates things.
Ventress's eyes were narrowed in anger.
I guess the guard at the bar wasn't that stupid after all. He double-crossed...
She was interrupted by the shrill whoop whoop of an alarm. The children gasped, huddling together and looking at Voss and Ventress with wide, frightened eyes as their would-be rescuers ran to the window and looked down. Guards were flooding into the tower. Ventress slipped on her goggles and zoomed in on the chaos.
There he is,
she muttered.
Your boyfriend from the bar?
Oh, please,
said Ventress in a scathing voice. Voss recalled the position in which he'd left the Faline, and despite the direness of the situation, he couldn't suppress a small chuckle.
Guess he should have hit him harder, he said.
Ventress started to retort, but fell silent as the guards started banging on the door.
So, what's it gonna be? Lava flow or guards? Voss asked.
Normally, I'd say the guards, but we have baggage to protect.
She waved in annoyance at the children.
Okay, lava flow it is. Hop on,
Voss said cheerily. Vram and Lolly, however, looked at him skeptically when he knelt in front of them. Ventress also knelt, barking at the children.
Come on! We don't have all day!
The brother and sister exchanged glances, then clambered atop their rescuers' backs. At the feel of Vram's small body quivering with fear, Voss's heart abruptly surged. He and Ventress were going to get these two innocents and their mother back to their father. As if he could feel Voss's emotion, Vram tightened his grip, and his shaking stopped.
Voss straightened. At that moment, the unmistakable sound of blaster fire joined the steady sound of the alarm.
Guess they got tired of knocking, Voss said.
He threw a quick glance back to the door and saw a thin crack at its base.
They'd be inside shortly.
He jumped out onto the balcony,
whistled loudly, reaching out with the force, and felt the lava fleas respond.
He glanced over at Ventress. Their eyes met, and she nodded. They leapt gracefully down onto a lower level, the children screaming as they hung on. Blaster bolts whizzed past Voss's ear, letting him know that the guards had broken into the room above and were none too pleased about finding it empty.
Hang on!
He heard Ventress shout, and she disappeared over the balcony railing. For a moment, Voss watched as she plummeted, little Lolly, silent as death, looking up at him from Ventress's back. Blaster bolt zipped by, too close for comfort. The moment he saw Ventress land nimbly on the rocks below, Voss leapt, little Vram's arms tight around his neck. When he landed, Ventress was already leaping from boulder to boulder, and up onto an abutment, which she continued to run along. Voss caught movement and looked past Ventress to see the lava fleas bounding to meet her. As the first one drew near, Ventress flipped up and out in a graceful arc, making a perfect landing in the saddle.
Wow!
Exclaimed Vram, his fear forgotten for the moment.
Kid, you've not seen anything yet,
Voss assured him, and prepared to make his own jump.
Watch this.
His flea was almost beneath his perch on the abutment. He grinned, looking down, knowing he had timed it perfectly. And then he leapt.
This kid would have a story.
Sudden pain seared his shoulder. A blaster bolt! Caught off guard, Voss grunted and jerked. Instead of landing perfectly astride the flea, he struck it hard and bounced off, hurtling toward the waiting lava below.
He twisted, trying to adjust his trajectory, and at the same time stretched out his hand to use the force to cushion the impact.
Voss landed on his feet, on a jutting rock, but Vram lost his grip. The boy cried out as he fell and then rolled toward the roiling orange flow. Voss, his body racked with pain, leapt for Vram, stretching out his hand, willing it to catch the sobbing child. Vram was too far away. Narrowing his eyes in intense concentration, Voss reached out to Vram. Suddenly, the boy's fall ceased, and his body hung suspended above the lava. Just long enough for Voss to grab him by the arm. Come on! Vram flung his arms around his rescuer's neck, his sharp little elbow digging into the blaster burn. Voss gritted his teeth and looked up to see Ventress, mounted on her own flea and holding the reins to his in one hand while she expertly batted away blaster bolts with her other. With an effort, Voss hurried to climb back up the boulders. When he reached Ventress, he hoisted himself and Vram into the saddle. The boy was wailing in terror, but mere moments later, as the tower that had held them prisoner shrank in the distance, both children began to cheer.
It hurt. Of course it hurt. It was a blaster burn. Voss sat in the hold with the children, who regarded him from as far away as possible. When Voss realized they were staring at his blackened, bloody shoulder, he adjusted his position so the wound was out of their line of vision. Unfortunately, he could do nothing about the reek of burned human flesh. He heard the clank of Ventress's boots on the metal rungs of the ladder, and turned to smile at her. But he could feel that it was barely a ghost of his usual cocky grin. She was holding a med pack and knelt beside him. A flicker of concern rippled over her features.
It's not as bad as you think,
Voss lied. Ventress glared.
It's every bit as bad as I think, because I've seen them before, and I know exactly what to think.
He jerked his head slightly toward the children and raised his eyebrows. She fell silent and began to treat the wound. Voss watched her work. Her hands were capable and cool, strangely gentle as she positioned his arm to tend every patch of blackened flesh. She sterilized the wound and applied Bacta-treated bandages. The pain ceased, but Voss found himself still staring at her long, slender fingers. They wielded a lightsaber with deadly skill, controlled the Force, piloted a ship, landed one hell of a punch. For Ventress, her hands were weapons, tools. But now they touched him, for the first time, with care.
This, she said as she packed away the equipment, is why I don't have a partner.
The words came before Voss even realized he'd thought them.
No, he said quietly. This is why you need a partner.
He reached out his good arm to touch her hand with his own, noting that the darker brown of his skin made her own seem even paler. She froze. Voss looked up to find her ice-blue gaze fixed on him. Her expression was unreadable. He swallowed, suddenly and for the first time in his adult life, utterly unsure of himself.
We need to find the mother.
Ventress's voice was flat. She rose, sliding her hand out from under his, and without another word, marched back to the cockpit.
What just happened?
Voss had no idea.
So confused was he that at first he didn't even notice the soft sound of music coming from the corner where Lolly and Vram were huddled.
Voss shook his head, clearing it.
Hey, Lolly, he called genially. What have you got there?
Lolly gasped and inadequately hid something behind her back.
Nothing,
she stammered. Voss held out his hand.
May I see it? Please? I promise I'll give it right back.
Lolly hesitated, then held out a small locket. Voss took it and opened it, revealing a miniature hologram of a pike female.
It's Mommy,
Lolly said softly, tears welling in her eyes. But Voss hardly heard her. As it happened to him countless times before, the world fell away.
No!
Their mother screamed, struggling against the burly, falling guards who none too gently were hauling her away from her children. She looked so fragile, as if they could easily snap one of her slender limbs with a single hand, and yet she fought like a Nexu defending her cubs.
No! Lolly! Vram! Mommy!
Lolly shrieked.
Don't take her away!
Shouted Vram. The guard laughed nastily. It was the Fallen from the last resort, the one whom Voss and Ventress had tricked into revealing the location of the hostages.
Don't worry. Zaitan will take good care of her at the palace.
The vision cleared as abruptly as it had appeared. Dazed, Voss pushed painfully to his feet and stumbled toward the cockpit. Without preamble, he blurted,
We need to go back to the fortress. The mother's in Zaitan's palace.
Ventress turned to regard him.
Really? She said. And how would you know that?
Her gaze fell to the locket he still clutched in his hand.
Lolly told me.
It wasn't entirely a lie. She had handed him the locket, and that had told him. Her gaze didn't waver.
Neither of those kids seemed to know anything before.
Voss mustered his old grin.
Well, I guess they felt like they could trust me. I'm good with kids.
You behave like their peer, Ventress said. I am unsurprised.
She looked at him for a moment longer. Unbidden, the memory of how her cool hands on his skin had felt returned to Voss.
Then she said,
"Okay, let's go."
Boss glanced back at the two children in the hold.
"What about them?"
"What about them?"
"We can't just let them run around the ship. They're kids. They'll have this thing reduced to scrap metal. And what if they wander off?"
"I'll take care of it."
Chapter 12.
15 minutes later, they had landed their ship in the courtyard, in full view of the tower and the guards stationed there. Ventress snapped down the shoulder harness on the containment chairs, while Vram and Lolly yelped in protest.
"Wow," Voss said unhappily. "You sure they're going to be okay in there?"
Ventress looked at him confused.
"What? These restraining chairs lock down the baddest villains in the galaxy. I think they can hold a couple of kids."
"That wasn't what I meant, but all right."
"Voss!"
Lolly whimpered, reaching out a small three-fingered hand.
"Sorry, kid. It's her ship."
He gave them a shrug and lifted his arms in a what-can-you-do gesture.
"Hang tight, and we'll be back with your mother before you know it."
He patted Lolly on the head and grinned at Vram. He turned to face Ventress, and his smile faded. She stood with her arms folded in front of her, a defensive gesture, and he wished he knew what she was thinking.
"Just so we're clear," she said, "I'll keep them occupied while you find the mother."
She reached for the door controls. Unable to help himself, Voss called out softly,
"Hey."
She turned.
"What?"
Her voice wasn't chilly, but neither was it warm or inviting. What had he been going to say? He wasn't sure. And now, beneath her scrutiny, he couldn't think of anything. Finally, he said,
"Try not to get yourself killed."
Ventress smirked, as he had known she would. But just before she opened the door and descended the ramp, Voss thought her expression melted for a moment into a genuine smile.
He took a deep breath. "Get your head in the game," he told himself,
and waited until the guard's attention was fully on Ventress before he slipped quietly down the ramp himself. Zaitan Moj was not happy. He had not been happy when Marg Krim had unexpectedly rejected the very lucrative offer of combining the Pike Syndicate with Black Sun. Zaitan was even unhappier that he was therefore compelled to kidnap Krim's entire family. And he was extremely unhappy indeed to have learned that a scant 20 minutes earlier, two of his three hostages had been rescued. Zaitan looked up at Kurg Utal as the aide approached, knowing immediately that Utal was about to make Zaitan the unhappiest yet.
"Master Zaitan!"
Utal said, and he came perilously close to wringing his hands.
"We have been unable to find the renegades who took the children."
Zaitan sighed.
"Pity. Marg Krim knew what the penalty would be if he attempted the rescue. Prepare to execute his wife."
"Yes, my mess—"
Utal began, but he was interrupted by the sight of his guards marching up, escorting a female with short, silver-blonde hair.
"My lord," the head guard said, "an envoy from the Pikes is here to negotiate the release of the hostages."
Utal and Zaitan exchanged glances, and Zaitan turned to examine the newcomer. Her timing was remarkably coincidental, and Zaitan was not one to believe in coincidences. She was clearly not a Pike, and in fact did not even look like she was anything as impressively named as an envoy. Her leather clothing was well-worn, and she had the air of a warrior rather than an unctuous diplomat.
"Interesting," he mused, settling back in his chair with an inviting smile. "I'd very much like to hear what you have to offer."
"Sorry," the envoy said. "First things first. I want to see the children and the wife to make sure they're still..."
She made a show of searching for the right word.
"Breathing."
"One thing at a time. I can show you the wife, but the children will have to wait."
He beckoned for Kurg to lean in and whispered,
"Go forward with our plan, but bring the wife here.
I will send this envoy, if such she truly is, with Tezka Krim's head and an eyewitness account of me severing it from her body myself.
And if she is not truly an envoy?
No matter. Tezka must die regardless, and this stranger will soon follow her.
Kurg smiled thinly, his eyes twinkling with admiration for his master, and bowed. As he left the room, he gave the envoy a scornful glance. She met him stare for stare. Zaitan smiled again at his visitor.
Tell me,
he mused, stroking his beard.
Do you think I am a fool?
Her blue eyes narrowed.
Why particularly do you ask?
I know you took the children.
She looked convincingly surprised and angry.
What? Are you saying you don't have them?
He growled, softly, deep in his throat. The guards, standing beside the envoy, tensed slightly. They knew the signs of their master's encroaching anger.
How long are we going to play this game?
She was unmoved.
Do you really think I'd be here right now if I had taken them? You clearly don't know how good I am at my job.
He had opened his mouth to retort when the door to the cell slid open. Tezka Krim stood in the doorway, her blue eyes wide and darting about. Zaitan smiled. This was going to be a pleasure.
Well, there she is.
And here I am,
came a voice. A human male, dark of skin and hair, and sporting a strange yellow tattoo across his face, stepped in front of the pike, grinning broadly. Surprise caused Zaitan to hesitate for a fraction of a second, but then he dived for his weapon. Before he could fire it, the stranger with the yellow tattoo shot it out of his hand. The blonde woman had already dispatched one of the burly Fallen guards and was now snapping the other's arm with frightening casualness. Blaster bolts sang as the dark human, dodging attacks with lithe grace, shot the blasters from the hands of the guards. Zaitan stared, aghast, as the intruder almost cheerfully made a show of whirling his own blasters around his fingers before holstering them, then charged the nearest guard. So intent on yellow tattoo was Zaitan that he failed to notice the envoy until she was but a meter away. With an angry bellow, he exploded from his chair and met her head on. He took a swing at her, but struck only air. Then he was stumbling backward, his head swimming and his jaw aching from a well-placed kick. One foot struck the base of his throne, and he collapsed into it. In the moment the woman took to whirl around and smash in the face of a guard who was getting too close, Zaitan was up again and charging her. He was well-versed in a variety of martial arts and expert in mixing styles up in such a way that his enemy could not anticipate what he might do next. This one somehow did. Almost as if the fight had been choreographed, she blocked his every blow. From the strike of the Nexu to the kick of the Bantha, with almost disinterested ease. The sounds of thuds and groans from his guards told him that her compatriot was easily handling three, probably four attackers at once. Who were these people? As if she had tired of playing with him, the envoy ceased simply defending herself and moved in for the kill. Her punches and kicks became a blur, and panic started to rise in Zaitan's throat. Dodge, parry, block, strike. A left hook made the world turn gray for a moment, and then she was clutching his throat. No, wait. She was standing nearly 2 meters away from him. Her arm was extended, her fingers curled, miming the gesture of crushing his windpipe, and yet he felt it. Then he was lifted up in the air. Zaitan kicked and squirmed, reached up to claw invisible incorporeal fingers from his throat as the woman spoke in a low, chilling tone.
I have a message from the Pikes. Don't ever put family in the middle of this again.
She hurled him with such force into his throne that it toppled over. Zaitan lay on the floor, gasping, and then finally the pressure around his throat disappeared. He got to his feet. Not only were the envoy and yellow tattoo nowhere to be seen, but neither was Tezka Krim. Fury erased fear. Fury and embarrassment. Massaging his throat, he said, coughing,
"Stop them! Guards! Guards!"
He could hear more blaster fire as the guards stationed outside doubtless tried to halt the escaping trio. Surely the two rescuers would be tired from the fight against so many in the throne room. He heard a strange noise, and rising, caught a glimpse of a blur of light off which his guard's blaster bolt seemed to be ricocheting back at them. A lightsaber? He charged out in time to see the envoy gripping Tezka's arm and rushing her up the ramp of a waiting ship. The blaster bolt struck the ramp mere centimeters from their running feet, and they disappeared inside. The guards turned all their focus onto Yellow Tattoo. He responded by grabbing a guard and thrusting the unfortunate falling in front of him, using him as a shield. Then the stranger hurled the massive body at the other guards and Zaitan, who were closing in on him. As the two guards stumbled, knocked off balance, the stranger sprinted for the ship. It was already lifting off, and the stranger was forced to leap to catch a hold of the retracting ramp. Zaitan seized a blaster from one of the fallen guards and took aim. Blaster bolts whizzed past the intruder, who somehow managed to clamber up the ramp to the safety of the ship in the nick of time. The last Zaitan saw of him, as the ramp closed and the ship took off, was a cocky wave. After the excitement of the narrow escape came a joyous and tear-filled reunion. Ventress could hear small voices shouting,
"Mommy! Mommy!"
and the soft murmured sobs as Tezka doubtless hugged her children tight.
"I love happy endings," Voss, who was seated behind her, said. She could tell he was smiling by the warmth in his voice.
"And you, Asajj Ventress, were fantastic back there with Zaitan. That guy was upset."
Normally, after a successful mission, Ventress eased comfortably into conversation with Voss. But this time, something felt different. There was tension between them now, and she was at a loss. As she had told Voss at the outset, she didn't mix business with pleasure. While it was true that her life was mostly business, pleasure did happen occasionally, but never anything that lasted beyond the single encounter, and never, ever with someone she worked with and respected. Ventress had no idea how to process the utterly alien emotions his hand on hers had created. She was alone, and she was strong that way. There would be no mate, no children, such as Tezka now embraced tightly. So she simply did not reply. Voss tried again to strike up a conversation, but eventually fell silent. They stayed that way for the entire trip. When the Banshee settled down on Obadiah's landing platform, Voss told her to go in without him. He would stay behind, he said, and prep the ship for their departure while she got their credits. The younglings begged him to come with them, but he just smiled and hugged them goodbye. That wasn't like the Quinlan Voss whom Ventress had come to know. Something was definitely amiss. She awkwardly accepted Marg Krim's thanks, and much less awkwardly, the extremely large pile of credits he gave her.
"We'll need to refuel shortly," he told her when she returned. "And I could use a drink after all that running around in a hot place."
He sounded like his old self, and he grinned, but the humor didn't reach his eyes. So that was how he was going to play it. Fine with her.
"Catch," she said, and tossed a bag containing half the credits his way.
He deftly obeyed, then frowned.
"This is too much."
Marg Krim was pleased. In his excitement, he doubled our payment.
"Great," Voss said. "More to spend at the bar. Shall we get going?"
His enthusiasm sounded forced. Ventress frowned, but didn't push. She never liked it when someone hounded her, so she extended the same courtesy to Voss. Silently, she laid in the coordinates for a nearby planet. They had just left atmosphere when about a dozen ships came out of hyperspace. Ventress's eyes widened. The vessels were a collection of fighters and interceptor-class frigates, all bearing the stark, ugly symbol of a spiked sun with a circle in the center like an all-seeing eye.
Black Sun.
No, said Voss, his voice a broken moan.
No!
Ventress saw in her mind's eye the children hugging Voss, felt for just a moment Lolly's soft little hands wrapped around her neck and shoulders as she ran. Then, because there was nothing else she could do, Ventress flipped the controls, and the Banshee went into hyperspace. They headed for the bar first. Voss ordered in a flat voice, knocked back a shot, and asked for another. Ventress sipped her own drink in silence. While she said nothing, he knew she was watching him. He kept his face expressionless, which cost him, and behind the mask he suffered.
Had Black Sun followed?
No. They knew where the Krim family lived. They'd abducted Tezca, Lolly, and Vram easily enough. They had simply come to finish the job. Voss knew in his heart what would happen. Black Sun would execute them and leave Marg Krim to behold their bloody bodies while at the same time trying to fight for his own life. His fist hurt. Blinking, he looked down to see he'd slammed it down on the bar. Slowly, he raised his head. Everyone was staring at them. Suddenly, he couldn't stand being in the crowd of people. He downed another shot. The burn of the liquor almost painful as it trickled its way to his stomach. Tossed some credits on the bar and turned to Ventress.
Let's walk, he said.
She raised an eyebrow, but accompanied him. Dawn was breaking on this world, and the streets were largely deserted. In the forgiving light of the first rays of the sun, everything looked new. Even the things that were battered, broken, and dirty. But Vram and Lolly wouldn't see another sunrise. Impulsively, he grabbed the small pouch that he kept in his shirt. Tugging it out, he thrust it at Ventress.
Here, you earned this.
Ventress scrutinized him, not taking the money.
Don't bail on me now, Voss, she said quietly. We're just starting to make a good team.
But we aren't a team, he said.
He hadn't known what he intended to say, but the words spilled out of him in a rush, as if they had been damned too long and were eager for freedom.
For a team to work, there's got to be trust. And I haven't been truthful with you about who I am.
He took a deep breath.
Asajj, I'm a Jedi.
Chapter 13.
I know,
Ventress replied. That Voss hadn't expected. It threw him utterly.
You do? How?
She gave him a little smile that was much gentler than her usual smirk.
I'm not a fool. I see what you can do. Those cat-quick reflexes of yours. Your fall back on Mustafar. That should have killed you and Vram.
Oh,
Voss managed weakly.
Why?
He closed his eyes for a moment, deciding how much he should tell her. The answer came clear and true. Everything.
The Jedi Council has ordered me to kill Count Dooku. They thought the best way to do that was through you.
She folded her arms, but she looked more curious than anything else.
Elaborate.
He did. He told her that the Jedi Council, and now he, knew that Dooku had cast her aside and tried to kill her. That she knew Dooku better than anyone. That she had tried alone to kill her former master and failed both times. That Master Yoda thought that together she and Voss would succeed. Ventress listened without interrupting. When Voss fell silent, she said,
I'm surprised that the Jedi Council would take such action. Not that I disapprove of it, mind you, but it's a big step from Jedi to assassin. I've watched you struggle with some of the things we've done, Voss. And trust me, you've only seen a very sanitized version of what goes down in the usual bounty hunt.
She shook her head.
Your council doesn't fully appreciate what it will take to accomplish this goal.
I'll do it. Whatever it takes.
I respect your confidence,
she said, a hint of a smile playing around her full lips.
And,
she added more seriously,
your honesty. I don't normally encounter someone with both. You're a rare breed, Voss. But Dooku, I'm not sure you're ready for that kind of fight.
Then make me ready. That's what the Council sent me to you for.
She started to turn away.
You don't understand what you're asking.
Impulsively, he caught her arm. Ventress glanced from his hand to his face, almost wary.
Then tell me. Make me understand.
She faced him then, her eyes searching his.
It will require you to forsake nearly everything that it means to be a Jedi. But you've already begun down that path, I think. Your grief over the deaths of the Krim family does not speak of non-attachment.
He frowned.
Jedi aren't without emotion. We're allowed to grieve.
Perhaps,
Ventress allowed.
But somehow I don't think most Jedi try to drown the pain with alcohol and slam their fists on the table.
No,
Voss admitted. Her words were truer than he dared let her know. But one truth he could speak.
Ventress, this war.
He shook his head.
The Council's right. All our resources are being poured into it. And it's a bottomless pit. A victory here, a loss there.
We're too busy simply reacting to the next crisis.
We're Jedi, not generals. We should be fighting organizations like Black Sun. Doing things that make a difference.
Dooku is the war.
When he dies, it's over. With him gone, the Jedi could really help people again. Really do something that makes a lasting difference. More than just a single rescue here and there that in the end doesn't...
Voss swallowed hard. He realized his fingers were digging into her arm. Ventress didn't seem concerned, but he forced himself to loosen his grip slightly and took a breath.
So, yes, I want Dooku dead now. His death will fix everything.
Ventress placed a hand on his chest. His heart sped up beneath her fingers, and he knew she could feel it.
Gently, she said, you will have to harden that soft heart of yours.
Whatever I have to do, whatever I have to become, I'll do it. I'll be it.
She regarded him steadily, then said,
we shall see.
Seated in the dim shadows of the 1313 bar, Obi-Wan Kenobi resisted the urge to check the time again. He knew Voss was late. He didn't need to know exactly how late. The information would serve nothing except to make Kenobi more irritated than he already was. In many ways, Voss was the perfect choice for this mission. He had a knack for quickly and thoroughly ingratiating himself with anyone. But Asajj Ventress wasn't just anyone. She was, in fact, that rare thing, an enemy Kenobi admired. And if all went according to plan, a soon-to-be ally. He took a deep breath, reaching gently into the Force to place a layer of calm on his irritation, like oil upon water. It helped, and eventually, a familiar figure stepped into the bar and made his way to Kenobi's table.
You're late, Kenobi said without preamble, adding pointedly, again.
Voss shot him his usual grin.
Hey, at least I'm consistent.
He dropped into the chair, put his booted feet on the table, and placed his hands behind his head, looking utterly at home.
How is your mission progressing?
I've made some real progress, as expected.
With the tip of his boot, he gently tapped his empty glass and lifted his eyebrows in query. Kenobi sighed lightly and reached across the table.
No trouble with our new friends? He inquired, filling Voss's cup.
None at all. In fact, she's been quite helpful. Says she's got contacts within the Separatist Alliance that are indebted to her.
They'll contact her when one of them knows where Dooku will be next.
Kenobi slid the glass across the table. Voss caught it just as it was about to tip over.
And you trust her?
Voss drained the drink and wiped his mouth with the back of his hand.
Something prickled in Kenobi. A sense that things were not right. Voss was taking just a little too long in replying. Only a Jedi, and one who knew Voss well at that, would have noticed.
Yes, Voss said firmly. I do.
He slid the glass back over to Kenobi for a refill. Obi-Wan searched his friend's face. Beneath the expression of absolute confidence, he looked vulnerable. In a kind voice, he said,
Have caution, Quinlan.
Ventress is nothing if not manipulative. She won't hesitate to use your trust against you the instant it serves her own selfish purposes.
Back the glass slid across the table. Voss caught it and looked Kenobi right in the eye.
She's been faithful to me.
That's a curious choice of words, Kenobi thought, and the unease stirred inside him again. But there was nothing to be done. He had warned Voss, and he could do no more. The other Jedi, after all, was a fellow master, and one who had been in this sort of duplicitous situation many more times than Kenobi had. He contented himself with saying, For now. They clinked their glasses and drank. Kenobi placed his down on the table and rose, donning his helmet and clapping Voss on the shoulder. But even as he left, he couldn't shake the peculiar sense of foreboding.
Ventress set the coordinates for a world to which she had never desired to return. But she knew in her heart it was the right place to begin Voss's training. He clearly sensed her need for silence and respected it, though, knowing him, he was probably bursting with curiosity. When they came out of hyperspace and the red planet filled the viewport, Ventress felt a dull, sick ache. A sensation she knew would only grow sharper with what was about to unfold. She brought the Banshee in for a landing beneath the curving, blackened trunks of what had once been 80-meter-high trees. A few had escaped the flames, and some of them still bore poignant, precious fruit. Ventress sat for a moment in the cockpit, opening to the pain, letting it slice her soul like a knife across an open palm. Her grief, hatred, and guilt dripping out like blood. It had been less than a year since the slaughter, and the wound was still fresh and raw. Without a word to Voss, she rose, went to the door, and tapped the controls to open it and extend the ramp. He followed her as she descended, looking first at her, then gazing upon the red-tinted, mist-wreathed world. He stiffened abruptly. Ventress suspected he was sensing the grip the dark side had upon her birthplace. How strong it was, and how deep it went.
Do you remember sharing Lassarame's whiskey that night?
Ventress asked quietly. He nodded.
I asked you what your story was, and you said you didn't have one. Do you recall what I said when you asked me that question?
You said you had quite a few of them, but none of them ended well. Voss replied quietly.
I'm going to share one of those stories with you now,
Ventress said, her voice huskier than usual with emotion.
About a sisterhood, and a girl who was taken from it, and came back home.
She walked among the faint shadows of the trees, and heard Voss's swift intake of breath as, now, he saw the skeletons of more than a forest. None remained intact. The scavengers had done their jobs, but here and there was the unmistakable shape of a human skull.
When I was an infant, my clan was forced to surrender me to a criminal. I became his slave, but he was a surprisingly kind master. He was killed when I was still quite young during an attack by Weequay raiders. I was rescued by a Jedi knight named Kai Norik, who sensed that I was strong in the Force. He was stranded on Ratatak, and he took me under his wing. I became his Padawan.
You were trained by a Jedi? Voss stared openly at her. Ventress nodded and clenched her teeth for a moment. Sorrow gripped her heart, and she let it. For 10 years, we helped the people of Ratatak. We became heroes, to most. But to some, we were the enemy.
The Jedi are always enemies to some, Voss said.
Narek died in front of my eyes. He too was killed by Weequay,
Ventress continued. Speaking the words opened the gates even more, and she felt a flare of the old, never-quite-gone pain, and the comfort, cold but real, of hatred.
You may have noticed I dislike them. I vowed vengeance, and I got it. Soon the warlords were dead, and I ruled in their place. It was on Ratatak that Dooku found me, and I him.
She shrugged.
I hated the Jedi for abandoning my master, and Dooku wanted an apprentice as filled with hatred as he was. It was a good match.
So, what changed?
Her lip curled in a snarl as she recalled Dooku's words.
He abandoned me without warning. He said I had failed him for the last time and left me for dead. But I survived, and I vowed to kill him. I knew I would need allies if I were to succeed, and so I came home.
She gestured to the place in which they stood.
Home to the Night Sisters, where I was made welcome, and our clan leader, Mother Talzin, helped me plot my revenge. Twice I attempted to assassinate Dooku. Twice I failed.
Ventress turned to regard Voss intently. She could tell he sensed the deep anguish of the place. His gaze fell to the ground, lingering on the broken remains of a Night Sister's bow.
Dathomir is where you got your bow, isn't it?
Wordlessly, Ventress nodded.
No wonder it's so important to you.
He bent, picked up the bow respectfully, and gasped. Sweat broke out on his forehead, and his body went taut. His eyes widened, seeing not what was here now, but what had been here then.
The bow tumbled from his shaking fingers, and he stepped back from it. Recovering, he said, I'm sorry. My talent, my psychometry. When I hold an object and focus on it, sometimes I can see and hear things that have happened during its history. And sometimes I can feel what happened.
Then you know that Dooku ordered the massacre,
Ventress said quietly.
It happened the same night that I undertook the ritual to become a true Night Sister. Dooku sent General Grievous here with an army. We responded with the same. We used our magics, and we summoned the dead.
She gestured to an area of trees that had managed to escape the fire, and pointed to the large sacks that hung like teardrop-shaped pods.
These contain the bodies of my sisters,
Ventress said. She reached to caress the smooth casing.
When one dies, so I was told, we perform a ritual to honor her. We bathe her in a sacred pool, then enclose her in this pod. In this way, a sister never truly leaves us. She is dead, but she is nestled inside something vibrant and alive. She is suspended between sky and soil, because she is truly of neither. She is always near, always part of the clan. I was taught that our dead sisters can share our celebrations of joy and our ceremonies of grief. And that one night, they shared our fight.
Ventress gestured to the skeletons around them. For a moment, her voice caught.
But I do not know the secret of preserving the fallen, and no one else was left to tend to them.
Asajj...
Voss spoke with great tenderness as he reached to touch her arm gently.
I am so, so very sorry.
For the briefest of instants, the simple sincerity of his words and gesture almost undid her.
Ventress slammed the door down on the feeling at once, before she was overwhelmed. She had brought Voss here to teach him of hatred, to make him strong enough to face Dooku, not to comfort her. It was the only way. She knew, without knowing how she knew it, that Dooku would only be killed by someone with hatred in her or his heart. So she disengaged herself and turned to face Voss.
Don't be. That's a weakness. Stretch out your feelings even more, Voss. Don't hold back. Feel the presence of my sisters. Their fear, their anguish, their hatred. It is this you must learn to focus on if we are to succeed.
Sensing the presence of a living thing, she turned to one of the burned branches. A black snake, about half a meter long, twined lazily about it, flicking out its forked tongue to smell her. Unafraid, she touched its mind and called it to her. It obeyed, climbing up her arm to her neck. Its tongue tickled as it touched below her ear.
My hatred?
Voss laughed uneasily.
That's not exactly the Jedi way.
Ventress didn't answer at once. She watched the snake make its way across the back of her neck and halfway down her other arm. It lifted its head and turned to meet her gaze. Stonily, her eyes locked with its slitted ones.
As I warned you, to defeat Dooku, we cannot do things the Jedi way.
Ventress lifted her right hand, and the snake obligingly coiled its first few centimeters about it. Ventress raised the creature so it was only a few centimeters from her face.
Hatred.